League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! And the
he's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back to throw. Pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
It's
off to Harmon. He comes back. Say goodbye.
Ahmad Black in his final game as a Gator takes it all the way home and sends Urban out the winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
You're on mute, my friend.
Amateur. I guess that's the type of show we're about to get today, man. Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your boy, Corey.
It's Dan. Nope, Nick, you're muted too, bud. This is our not first time doing this podcast.
Delatory.
And your boy, Jay Scar, baby, what it do?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
Vibes, man. Beautiful February Monday night. Lots of things to discuss when it pertains to the Florida Gators. Staff moves, been an eventful few days that we all been waiting on January 31st, February 1st. You know, no fireworks. Nothing has really happened, but we're going to discuss it, man. Before we get into that, how was y'all weekend? Everything solid?
Solid weekend, man. Solid weekend. Couple rounds of golf. Did not get better yesterday. Had the worst run I've had in probably a year yesterday. But Saturday I played great. So take the good with the bad in the game of golf.
Did some moving. We got a new office space. So building furniture. Bob the Builder this weekend. Did some more building.
That job description got to be crazy. You building furniture too, fam?
Yeah, I wouldn't trust any of the furniture I built. I think I grabbed one of the chairs that somebody else built to make my personal chair. Good luck. God bless.
Last time I tried to build some furniture with a studio was IKEA, and I took the L. I ended up calling somebody on task. What is it? Thumbtask. I ended up calling somebody on that.
TaskRabbit
is one of those joints, man.
So we just didn't grow up like that. So my dad, Cuban, very short temper. He was not good at building stuff. So if you bought something that had to be built, call someone up to build it. If they offered home installation, pay the extra.
I feel like we used to get a lot of furniture already pre-made just as a society. And then IKEA came, and then everybody else was like, oh, we can just pass this work off to somebody else.
Like self-checkout.
Let it ride. Right, yeah.
I like a self-checkout.
I don't like self-checkout. I'm going to make them boys work. I go to a store. I am not ringing up and bagging my own groceries. That's enabling bad culture as a consumer, bro. You can't enable that. Like, you need to have them scan it and bag it, man.
I did a year at Publix. I'm faster than some of them. I might get in and out on my self-checkout.
Nick, you worked at Publix? This is breaking news.
At Publix. So this is the first office, the first time I've ever had to go into an office for a job.
Wow.
Had to go into Publix for a year.
Welcome to the real world, Nick.
The way that Publix works too, when you're getting hired, you just like put your name in and they assign you a store. I drove by three other Publixes get to my Publix, which, buddy, that was 19-year-old privileged Nick, first job. I was like, why am I passing three of them? No, this is when I went when I was doing Broward Community College of Champions.
Okay.
So it was Weston. Publix and Weston.
All right.
City.
Okay. Well, it's Publix.
All right. Well, I had a pretty chill weekend, man.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Family come down, come see my little ones on Saturday. Besides that, it was just a pretty chill weekend.
How different do your parents act with the kids than they do with you, man? Than they did with you?
Yeah, I don't even want to go there, man. He's get away with everything and let him do any and everything in their house and in my house. And it's like, I couldn't even dare try to do half the stuff these kids tend to do these days. But they had their time, man. So yeah. I gave her a pass.
I walked in my parents' house one day and my nephew and my son was jumping on the couch. I looked at my dad and said, who are you? Who are you, bro?
Like, what who is are going you? On?
What happened to the guy I once knew, you know? Yeah.
I try to explain to them how he used to put me in headlocks for those type of things. They look at me, Grandpa? Like, yeah, Grandpa, bro. Like, same guy.
Yes.
How was you?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Same guy, allegedly. Not the same guy, but same body. I had a solid weekend. Nothing special, man. Just track a weekend off from football. First weekend, we got a little taste of no NFL, no college. So I was trying to figure out what to do with my hands, man. I had just empty hands. The basketball game wasn't kosher. Didn't play out like I wanted it to, but solid weekend, man. Just bobbed out.
Good deal. Yeah, tough basketball game on Saturday. They've got Auburn next Saturday, so that'll be a obviously a big game to watch upcoming for the Gators basketball program. We talked a little bit about it last week. Todd Golden is better coach as a fugitive, I guess is what we learned. Just kidding. Just kidding. No Gators basketball. We'll talk a little bit about them towards the end of the show. Let's just talk about it now. Super Bowl is on Sunday. We get the Eagles and the Chiefs. Who do we got?
I'm going with the Eagles, man. I'm just going with the Eagles. I'm tired of the Chiefs winning. Big Chauncey Gardner fan, so I'm just going to roll with the Eagles just for that, man. I want to see Chauncey go crazy. And Gilly celebrates the best.
So. Chauncey and Fred,
right.
Gator awesome. Boys, a ring. I was rooting for Kansas City last weekend, or two weekends ago now.
As a Dolphins,
People didn't understand that, and I'm like, it's the hell with the Bills every year. It doesn't matter who they're playing. Right. Never going to root for the Bills. The Chiefs could have won the last 9 Super Bowls, and they're playing the Bills in the AFC Championship game, and it's let's go Taylor Swift. Let's go Travis Swift. I'm ready for it. I'm never rooting for the Bills, the Pats, the Jets. Never.
Yeah, that's how I am about the SEC, to be honest with you, about a lot of programs. People are like, oh, you don't have SEC pride? I'm like, no, we got to play with these boys each and every week in nearly every sport. And I don't want Alabama to win. I don't want Georgia to win anything. I don't want Auburn to win anything. Hell, I don't want Vanderbilt to win anything. So to hell with SEC pride. I want them all to lose.
Just being a bully. I would love to see Vanderbilt win a bowl game.
They don't got much.
I mean, I think it's closer than you can think about it 10, 15 years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I'm rocking with the Eagles, though, man. I know we got Wani over there with the Chiefs as well, but we got Fred and Chauncey over there with the Eagles. So my boy Fred is about to be 3 times
Royal Palm alive, alumni, baby. Royal Palm 5-6-1, man.
Right.
Fred is the greatest player of all time for my school, bro.
That's crazy.
Who was it before?
Yeah, it was me before Fred, man.
Fred just eat that first place.
The offer, he just edged me, man.
As soon as the offer came,
Fred tied his jersey right then.
Hey, you're still on the Mount Rushmore. I wouldn't even be on the St. Thomas Aquinas Mount Rushmore.
That's true. It's true.
That's shocking.
We, of course, the high school, as you can imagine, didn't produce a lot of NFL talent. They do have NFL Hall of Famer Steve Hutchinson.
Yeah. St. Thomas has
that's about it.
NFL Hall of Famer Michael Irvin.
Yeah, you got a long list there.
Yeah, Brian Piccolo's in the Hall of Fame.
My school followed the rules and didn't tamper and illegally recruit.
You're the GOAT. So, Dan,
first off,
you got a
point there. How dare you? disgusting allegations.
We are the Wisconsin of Broward County football, while you guys are the Miami Hurricanes.
Wisconsin is nice, man, because Wisconsin actually beat Miami.
That's true.
Who's the greatest player of all time out of Coral Springs High, man? Give it to me. Greatest player of all time out of Coral Springs High. Oh, Steve Hutchinson. Hutchinson. Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, NFL Hall of Famer, offensive lineman. You probably haven't
heard of him. My guy Fred B.
But played with this other school. Yeah. He was in the 80s and 90s. An incredible player. Incredible offensive lineman. But, I mean, we had Walter Dix. Multiple bronze medal winner in the 100 and the 200 in 2008
Olympics. He used to coach my son.
Was, good friends with my brother.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The first track team that my son was on was Walter Dix. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Coral Springs High legend.
I had
you
no
didn't
idea.
Know that you, in your life,
well, he went to Florida State, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, to run track. He was not a good football player unless it was on kickoff.
Yeah, 100%. He lives up here. Used to run a youth track program. I think he's coaching at like FIU or somewhere down Nova. Somewhere like that, but he was also running the AAU track team. That's who really got my son started. He's like 4 or 5 years old. It was Walter Dick. Crazy.
Man, us Coral Springs High people, we stick together. We impact the Knowles family in ways that you could never imagine. You know?
All right, man. I mean,
come to listen to Florida Gators and our discussion on Florida Gators coaching, and stick around for the conversation about the Coral Springs High School.
That's what the people are here for, man.
Yeah. I think we're losing viewers as we're talking about them. So let's get into the Brunt Insurance Attorney and let's get on to the show.
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured in the Southeast, but most importantly, from Panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg can take care of you. Visit bruntinsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204 for a free quote. It costs you not a single penny or dime, just to see if you can save some money. Shout out to Brunt Insurance. They've been covering my home for a while now. Greg is always by the phone, ready to answer that call better than any customer service that you can find. So tap in with my guy, Greg. Again, bruntinsurance.com or 954-589-2204.
Greg, what to do, baby?
There it is. All right. We talked a little bit about Vinny Sinceri last week. We talked about what we might see in the coaching staff leading, or in the coaching update leading into January 31st. It is now February 3rd, or if you're listening on your podcast platform, February 4th. And there's still some question marks. I think we have some ideas, and it still doesn't mean that there couldn't be change. I think a big thing to note is coaching staff rules are changing. The number of coaches that you can have, and then you can also delegate 10 coaches plus the head coach to be your recruiting staff. And I believe that can be a mix of coaches and analysts, not just on the field coaches. Is that my understanding, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And then your coaching staff can and will probably look different going into next season than what you're not used to, because there will be an increased number of coaches potentially on the field or with the job title up in the box, whatever it might be. So definitely some different wrinkles being added to coaching this year. So even if it looks full, it's my understanding that it might not necessarily be completely full.
Well, they started last year where analysts can coach on the field, analyst quality control. So there's no limit. There is still a limit of your 11 that can go out on the road. You can say like, hey, David Decker, if you thought, you know what, we want David Decker, who's a quality control receivers coach, we want him on the road instead of Billy Gonzalez, and Billy can talk to the recruits when he's here. You can do that.
Right.
You'd have to take one off the road to put another one on.
That's a new rule, correct?
It was in effect last year.
Oh.
Last season.
Great.
Yeah, that was just part of the NCAA just catching L's. The new one was the Tennessee. This will be NIL stuff, but the new one, they instead of taking it to court while they were getting sued, they were just like, you know what? Whatever you want, take it. So NIL collectives like Floyd Victorious can now be part of the recruiting process.
Nice.
Which some schools were already doing.
We counting on you, bro. Now you can recruit.
Send me the bags, and I will legally.
I'm just letting the people in the comment section and the people that are listening know who to go talk to.
No. I see what you're trying to set up.
Yeah.
I see what you're trying to set up, and I refuse. I reject your reality.
I bet Bree is probably like, man, I just quit that job. Like, now I...
But FloridaVictorious.com, join-now. All your money that you give for your membership is going directed to our athletes, potentially. Future athletes, which is a new thing. But, so it's not really changing. I feel like the way that you're saying it, Dan, is giving fans who were melting down, crashing out today on the message board or on Twitter, giving them like a branch to hold on to.
Yeah, it's a little hope. Like,
Not really. Like, this is, we can do the segment. Nick was right.
I don't like that segment. And
I mean, that's the
I think it's still incomplete, Nick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully, my microphone's better. This platform's down my butt.
Yeah.
You sound better. You sound like you're in a tin can. You were whispering into a tin can earlier.
It switched to my computer mic. I mean, technology. I work in technology. I still can't figure it out.
I'm with you guys, man. So I know that we're putting out there just to educate the fans that, like, this staff, me and Dan talked about it a little bit this weekend when I did a live screen logo talk. We spoke about the staff as we know it as of now is going to stay intact. Things may change here because this is a fluid situation, but that doesn't mean the staff is complete, because like guys like Tim Skipper, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, and other support guys, AKA analysts, they can also coach on the field now. So there is an opportunity for Billy to add to the staff in some capacity to help out a lot of our complaints when it comes to in-game coaching, the middle eight, that type of stuff. So we'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, Dan, not really putting out no hope or any false wishes or anything like that. It's pretty much what it is now. Like, they can actually make the staff better, even though we're keeping some continuity. We'll see how it all plays out.
Well, I didn't think Dan was saying it in order to create the branch. I just felt like a fan base.
You're not muted.
I'm unmuted.
You're not muted. Keep talking.
Oh, you said you're muted. I just felt like a fan base, which was crashing out, would take what Dan was saying as, they know something. They know something that's not out there. Like, unless, and the NFL jobs are being gobbled up quickly, unless the NFL takes a coach, like, this is going to be the staff.
So this is my question, Nick, right? So the NCAA is changing to remove countable limitation on teams' on-field coaching staff, allowing unlimited numbers of coaches to provide help on game day.
That was like Ryan O'Hara. They kept showing him on the sideline, him coaching. That, like, Ryan O'Hara was not allowed to do that during games or practice. He was allowed to do that last year, and you showed him doing it last year.
Yeah,
it's like, that's not a new. You can still only have the certain number going out, but that change was last year, where analysts, quality control people, were allowed to actually coach and instruct. Because previously, it was only the 11, the 10 assistants, and the head coach could coach when you were on the grass.
I've got every questions school, on semantics then, Nick.
Jordan will tell you that every school always abided by that. There was never any graduate assistants coaching. So I think it just probably more so just made legal what was already rampantly happening. Like, when Prohibition was repealed, you're like, oh, yay, we can all start drinking alcohol again.
So, but if then there
definitely weren't before.
But if there's no if that's allowed, now you can have an inside middle line, or you can have an inside sure. linebackers coach and an outside linebackers coach. You don't necessarily need to call them an analyst anymore or a quality control person.
And that salary changes right? too, so, if they're not just some analysts that are just prepping the game, right?
Maybe that's the change. But honestly, quality control, there's no limit on what you can pay them.
No, but if you're trying to bolster the staff and make it better, like say a Tim Skipper, mm-hmm. and if you're bringing him to be an extra linebacker coach. Yeah, random name. We'll talk about him just in a little bit. But they say you're bringing a guy like Tim Skipper that's got the qualifications to be an on-field coach, but all those spots are taken. To be attractive to him, because he might have a few offers here, is to offer a salary close to, if you got the money to blow like that. And some of these staffs are going to, you're going to see Texas and the Georgias and the Bamas start paying extra money for four or five running back coaches, because why not, right? Like four or five linebacker coaches, because why not? So if you're going to start getting that aggressive and want a staff that's just one of the top, not like pay those guys in that role, not analyst salaries, but coordinator salaries, position coach salaries, I would say. Well, all the same around here. Like, it doesn't.
Well, and I think that's where you start to get a little bit more in the NFL model of having, you know, a wide receiver coach and then an assistant wide receiver coach, or multiple assistant wide receiver coaches where one is coaching the outside, one's coaching the inside. I think we might see some changes to titles and maybe an elevation of what some of those people could or could not be, right? I mean, this is conjecture, not just being a parody show, not joking around about that, just conjecture about what I think could happen over the next couple of, not just at Florida, but in college football.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, NIL has, you know, you hear a lot of like the mid-major coaches or smaller schools being like, this is ridiculous. So-and-so's offering this. I think this is where you'll really see the separation start, where it's just like, yeah, we have 47 position coaches on our team because we didn't want so-and-so to be the linebacker coach and recruit against us.
Keep away.
And you'll start to see
Kirby does it with recruits. You don't think he's going to do it with coaches? He's done it with coaches in the past. They've taken some coaches from us just to play keep away a little bit, man. We'll see how it all plays out. But
it's interesting though, because we're getting into a place now where a lot of schools are trying to figure out how to supplement rev sharing, and where is that going to come from? Like, I think we're going to see a lot of the non-revenue sports, baseball, and probably more men's sports because of Title IX, but baseball, softball, men's lacrosse, men's swimming, like just your no, programs title. Just disappear because schools aren't going to be able to fund that,
right?
And to fund those sports, and if you get rid of a women's sport, you got to get rid of men's sports, so you'll just see men's sports leave.
Title IX is a scam.
That's a federal law. Scam. That takes a while to get rid of. Allegedly.
I think there's more to Title IX than just sports, but yeah. So let's get into it. Tim Skipper, Corey, you were breaking news on Wednesday, I believe it was.
I hear breaking news and whatnot, bro.
I saw.
Yeah. Let them know I'm not your lead.
Definitely not leaking around here. We got some sources, and we got to say, this is a parody show sometimes, but on other times we're very serious, man. But now I broke the news. Tim Skipper was interviewing. Some people reported analysts. I was told something different when I first got the information, but you got to play semantics a little bit, because if it's a four position coach, like, where is he at? Because all the spots are taken. But if we could get Tim Skipper in, who was last interim head coach, defensive coordinator at UNLV. He coached here before, coached Jordan Scarlett at running back, then moved to linebacker. He's just a football guy. But I think it would be a good hire if we could get him in any capacity. He's not a yes man. He's a leader of men. He's an excellent recruiter. Like, you put him on the trail, he's a dog. Mm-hmm. He's also know the league. He knows the SEC a little bit. So it will be an absolute great hire. We'll see what happens, because I don't know if he's absolutely sold on the analyst. From what I'm told, he may be still looking around, but I think it's something we should be aggressive at, you know, before he started looking around doing other interviews. I think that's a guy they should close in on. And that way, if you do have guys that take other jobs, you have a guy that's suitable to just promote up. If Tim come in as an analyst, say we do get poached at linebacker, or you want to shift the staff around, you got a guy already a part of the program that gets it, that you can just promote up and not have to do this whole coaching search again. So I'm with it.
Right. Yeah, most recently the interim
Fresno.
He was the acting head coach and then the interim head coach at Fresno State. Yeah. So
give us the firsthand account, Jordan, as a player, coached by Tim Skipper. 1 year directly, another year indirectly. What's Coach T Skip like?
He's a pretty laid-back dude, man, for the most part. He's very straightforward when it comes to, like, what he wants and then, like, basically how he wants it. And, yeah, he's real, like, reasonable, I think. Like, if you're doing what you're supposed to do and when he wants to say, he's not that coach that's going to be, like, all over you and, like, making sure that you're doing your stuff. He kind of lets you, like, be a pro early. I think he got that from kind of his dad and his brother also coaching the league. So he's like, listen, I'm not here to baby you guys. Like, I'm going to get you ready for the next level. And that's basically me just treating you like a professional. And I think he did a good job with that, with like not babying us and holding our hands and being like, hey, did you go to class? Hey, did you do this and that? Like, he wasn't really too much like that. So I think that was a good thing for us overall. So he's a pretty laid back dude though. So I think whoever gets him, whatever group gets him, whether it's linebackers, any spot on the defense, they'll be fine. As well, he's a really good recruiter. So
I think the more guys, I'm gonna let you go. I'm sorry, Dan, but the more guys I think that we have that are former head coaches and coordinators, is the better. You know, that's it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Jordan, what makes him a really good recruiter? What makes any coach a really good recruiter to you in your experience? Not just did they get to know you, did they take an interest in you, but what made him stand out to you as a really good recruiter?
I think it was just the way he can like get real personal real fast, and just a sense of like he's very understanding. He kind of gets to know the kid fast, and like he's really good at like reading people, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could meet a kid, sit with him for a few hours maybe, or meet him a couple of times, and he kind of can read what type of person he is. Like, you heard P. Ryan when he told the story, like, watch out for Scarlet, da 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 da. I know that was too bad, but he already knew who I was, and I was only with him for a year. And like, he knows his guys, and he knows what to say to each one and how to like basically make each one feel comfortable and feel good. So I feel like that's what really separates him with being a good recruiter, is that he's real understanding. I feel like he still has that young mindset because he's not like married with kids or anything like that. So he kind of makes the bachelor life can relate. Yeah, you feel me? He can relate to a lot of kids because he's living that lifestyle still. So not like as crazy as we are, obviously, but like just in the sense of like he's not married with kids. He's on like bachelor lifestyle. That's what most college kids are doing, to be honest. So he can relate to you, have some good jokes with you, and be able to make you smile.
Love it. So Tim Skipper interviewed on Friday, and then we wait and see what comes of that situation there. As far as we know, it's on the linebacker. As far as Corey knows, it's on the linebacker analyst type of position for UF. With that, Billy Napier will be calling your plays, according to Zach Albaverde, who reported that news today. I didn't get the chance to listen. I think he mentioned that on Gators Breakdown as well, that he will be calling plays. No offensive coordinator change.
Well, kind of. No play caller change, but it's offensive not coordinator really. Change, according to Zach Albaverde.
We're going to get there in a second. Yeah. So, but from a play calling perspective, it will be Mr. Napier calling plays again. And it's our understanding that he did that for almost all of last season as well. So
if you listen to the show, not a surprise. You've been telling you that for a while.
Yep. Yep. So
well-informed listeners here on Stadium. Yeah,
well-informed listeners. So Billy Napier will be calling plays. It is what it is. So you just, we're going into 2025. Billy Napier will continue with it, to call man. Plays.
I thought it was some good questions just reading and catching up on and seeing the small. I haven't checked out the full episode, but I thought it was interesting, man. Like a few things. We'll see what happens. And if anything changes, because I do think that DJ Lightweight elevates the offense. I do think that his skill set just elevates the play, and his reads are touchdown to check down. So he does bring a different element than what Mertz did, which we said all like before they even made DJ the starter. I thought that was something different that DJ brought that could better, you know, what Napier is calling. And then we got to see some flashes of how good offense could be when DJ Lightweight could use his legs and his arm. That kind of dwindled down and went away once Lightweight had the hamstring issue. Then it was more of watching Lightweight have to make plays from the pocket, not really use all of Billy's offense with the RPO. So we'll see how it all looks. If DJ's healthy, the RPO, you know, how elevated the offense get, that playbook should expand. Like, DJ's comfortability should expand in the offseason. That jump from freshman to sophomore year, you can speak on that too, Jordan, of how much an athlete, you know, advances from freshman year to sophomore year. But we should see an uptick in a lot of guys play around DJ, not just DJ. And we'll see if that all helps Billy play calling. But we all here to criticize and just watch it and celebrate whatever it may be. We're not shutting anything down. The program is going to run. And we still going to get these lies off, man. You know, Jordan, what is that jump like from freshman to sophomore year?
Yeah, man. I think you definitely get a little bit more comfortable in the system. Obviously, coming from high school, you jumping into the SEC, you feel like you're a little bit nervous. You're playing with the big dogs a little bit. Then he obviously got to play like a good amount this season, so he kind of knocked that off early. But I just think the more he gets comfortable within the system, I'm glad we keeping the same.
Yeah, you sticking so to that.
Doesn't have to.
Jordan ain't hearing puzzled. Nothing we saying about.
Yeah, for real.
Coordinators, none
I
of
don't,
that.
I don't want none. I don't need no excuses that he's getting familiar with the new playbook. Da 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 da. It's gonna make me mad. We already set. He showed me enough flashes to where I'm comfortable rocking out with what we did last year. Like, give me a healthy Lightweight and we're going to make plays. So I'm all about him being feeling real comfortable in the scheme. Hopefully he can get with his guys this offseason, man, just get some off time. Not time that's scheduled, like off time to where he can get good time with all his receivers, find his guy, find his one or two guys, and let's just rock out, man. I feel like reasons why offense is so successful most of the times is because they're just so comfortable with each other. They know their breaks. They know what they want to do. They know where he's going to put the ball at. And it just looks natural. You can put on a clinic out there.
And pass blocking-wise, too, you get Austin Barber back. Jake Slaughter's back. Devin Manuel was Florida's best pass blocker per grades, but only 58 snaps. Rod Kearney, Fletcher Westfall, Damian George, Christian Williams. Not Christian Williams, sorry.
No, Christian Williams transferred, yeah.
Not Christian Williams. Bryce Lovett. Najee Harris is back. You're getting a lot
Jason
of guys
Jason Bandamella.
Back.
Right.
Potentially, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's back, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of expected contributors in the future, you know, former highly ranked four-star, five-star guy, so.
Caden Jones, Cam Waits. You have a really experienced offensive line coming back to protect. The running back room, solid. And I know people were mad about receiver in the portal, but you got Dallas Wilson late. Wilson on campus. So we went in saying, hey, you need two in the portal. And then you get, is Dallas Wilson still a five star? I saw some.
In my heart.
I think it depends on what service you look at. Yeah, he's a five. Five star to us, you know what I mean?
I saw the rankings shift and like no games had been played and he dropped like 37 spots.
You don't work there no more now, so let's throw him under the bus.
The only thing
that
I can think of is because he didn't play in the All-Star game that there's a little penalization there.
Right,
I'm trying to think outside the box here. It's dumb.
It's not. I wasn't making the face at you.
Yeah.
The face was not made at you, Dan.
Yeah, no. I mean, we know these rankings don't seem to ever make sense. And we see a lot of people climb when nothing has happened. I mean, we've seen people climb hundreds and hundreds of spots after the season's over. They're usually committed to a few schools that have very large fan bases that subscribe to their network. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy, but
y'all about to make me rant about these recruiting services. You know, I'm not stupid. I don't want to bash anybody's business, but I'm about to rant.
I was born on a Wednesday, but not last Wednesday. You know what I mean?
Pretend to care about stars for the last couple of years. No, I just 24 months,
and then on the 25th month, you decide to take it away because of whatever, and they're already enrolled in college. He's a five star. I don't care what y'all selling, what subscriptions. None of y'all ever ran the route tree.
Yeah.
VB3 is a five star as well. Like, I don't care about none of y'all opinions, man. Y'all never put on a helmet and did any of this to be taking away five stars. Don't get caught up in that, man. These boys are top notch elite receivers that we got coming here. Dallas Wilson actually tweeted about it. Say, bro, you're not going to care about this in 2 weeks, Dallas. I promise you. You've enrolled. Congratulations on that. It's been quite the journey.
There's a lot of work that had to get done.
I was biting my nails worried about him not getting in. I was about to delete some tweets. But go ahead. You want to talk about that real quick?
No, I was just gonna say he worked very, very hard and waited until the very last second and they got him in. And so if you see him in Dr. Kellerman's class or whoever, just say hi and tap on the shoulder and say, hey, thanks for working hard the last couple of weeks.
Don't worry about that fifth star, bro. You got bigger fish to fry. I've been hearing good things about the receiver room altogether, just to speak about just some of what I'm hearing off the field. Vernell, VB3, like professional, showing up, ready to go, you know, and Nation as well. Like, those guys are coming in and they working. Dallas got there a little late. We'll see how he started to work out, but I'm hearing good things out of receiver room. I know we all wanted another guy out of the portal, but Tank, Hawkins, I'm hearing very good things about him. Like, these dudes are working hard. And they look good. Like, they look like they ready to be SEC starters from what I'm hearing. So let's just, you know, take our time and see how it all plays out this spring. But I think we got our receiver room intact. The talent around DJ is there. So let's not lose our wig and crash out because Billy's about to call his eight plays.
I'll give you a little insight. So I've been able to – new job has perks. Been at some practices. Been at some of the workouts.
Oh, we pay you the big bucks.
The cool part about being at an 8:30 lift is not having to lift at 8:30. Just kind of standing there with my water bottle, just being fat.
You don't want to join in?
8:30? The sun's barely up. Jesus, God is barely awake at 8:30.
I'm off for like 3 hours.
Definitely not trying to be lifting.
That's nuts. I've been at the office for an hour and a half, right?
Crazy. The competition. I think one that stuck out to me was like Vernell looking at like Nation, and Nation doesn't look big, but strong. And I think the freshmen looking at each other being like, oh, dang, I thought I was ready.
Yeah.
The guy that just came in with me stronger and I think kind of pushing each other. That's been cool to see while I drink my coffee.
Yeah, no, I think all three receivers that came in this year, Vernell Brown, Nation Montgomery, and Dallas Wilson is the best on paper recruiting class of wide receiver in a very long time. We'll see if they produce, right? They're still freshmen. But I think on paper, that could be amongst the best that they've had in a very long time. I like that
they just gave Dallas Wilson just one little more chip, though. Like, just, yeah, get that boy a chip. Put on his shoulder. Have him mad. And have him with a point to prove. I like all that, bro. But receiver room is ready to shoot. You got shooters.
Yeah, I can't lie. I won't be surprised, if one of those boys end up leaving.
Oh, don't do that.
This year, next year, just because I'm just calling a spade a spade. It's like you got three dudes who want to be that guy. They're all freshmen. We already got another receiver. Like, we don't, not to say we don't need them. We need the depth, yes. But I feel like we're going to be more of a run heavy team because we got backs, we got Lagway, we can do a little read option. So it's only one ball. So they're going to be on the field.
We need these old guys to lead, bro, not the young boys. We need. Let's get some of these old coons out of here that ain't producing.
I know. I feel you, but them boys going to be like, man, I'm about to go somewhere else.
They don't have a lot of older wide receivers, though.
Very young room.
That's why I said somebody to leave is just how young it is.
You said one of them old what?
Oh man, don't do that to me, bro. I could say that, so it wasn't, you know, no run, Robert.
No, jeez. The message boards are going to be on fire again tomorrow. They're already on fire saying, hey, we led the fan base astray. It's like, we didn't lead the fan base astray.
We pass on information that we get from very reliable sources, man. Sometimes that information is leaked to do some domino effects on other things, man. But I'm going to do my job of getting said information out there. And we'll see how it all plays out. But I keep saying that a lot. That's my new thing. We'll see how the staff and everything shakes. We continue to talk. Chapman had an interview with the Chicago Bears. Gerald Chapman, defensive line coach.
Yep.
That caused some crashing out as well. People got into their feelings about that. From what I was told, any coach being taken by the NFL is a 40% buyout of the remaining contract. They got to be paid to the University of Florida. Gerald Chapman just signed an extension, so that likely saved him from being poached by the NFL because Chicago didn't want to foot that bill. We don't know if another NFL team may want to come out to Chapman and maybe foot that bill, but right now he's safe. But it's no coincidence. I don't think he's just taking interviews because he's just happy with his job. And from what I was told, just to reiterate, there's just two guys on the defensive side that wasn't comfortable with a couple of things. But you got to be coveted, too. You got to be wanted. You know, you're not just going to quit and just be laying on the streets taking unemployment. So if there's no job offers, then you're probably going to stay intact and continue to collect these six-figure checks.
I will.
You've seen that. I've seen that with John Hevesy.
I find it very interesting, though, as somebody that's been around the message board world for a little while and on the On3 message board, distinctly remember some people bemoaning Gerald Chapman getting hired around this time last year, that all of a sudden are very, very upset that he was potential to leave for the Chicago Bears.
I'm fair. I did like the Gerald Chapman hire. My tweets are out there. I did. I thought he was a good hire.
Yeah. He's definitely an up-and-comer at the time. It's funny how quickly the wind shifts on the message boards.
Not a G5 terrible hire by Billy once the NFL won him, right?
Yeah. Florida does have some language in their contracts that does make it a little bit harder to get a coach from the University of Florida to the NFL. Not saying that a school won't pay it. They lost Patrick Toney and Kerry Colbert a couple years ago to the NFL. So it could happen. It's just an extra obstacle. Not saying that Gerald Chapman isn't very much qualified to be
contract
in that role, or that the Chicago Bears don't think that, but it's just there is something there. It does look like from an offensive line perspective, and we talked about it on this here show, that Rob Sale will be back. For now, it looks like all signs point to him being here. We had talked about it a couple weeks ago, but there might be a position title change, and we alluded to that on this here show as well in terms of what his title is moving forward. You could just see one offensive coordinator on the staff going into next year, and that would be Russ Callaway. Who would have that role. In part of the interview, from some of the notes that I read, it did seem like Billy Napier, in his interview with Dave Waters, did talk about how the co-offensive coordinators have helped alleviate a few things off of his plate. But, you know, again, I'm still in the position that Florida needed a dedicated offensive coordinator going into
dedicated
this year.
Sorry.
I think of them as the same because most people do, right? But not here. Yeah. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Russ Callaway, I think it's very interesting that Rob Sale took a pay cut, took a position title taken off, because we keep saying that these position titles mean nothing, right? That's what a lot of people are saying. These, like, don't worry about co-DC, co-offense coordinator. It's just to get guys more money. But I think when you're taking the title of OC from a guy like Rob Sale, whose business wise, they've been having a relationship for a long time, but also a little friendship there. So to take that title away from a guy that you had to attract from the NFL at that time, he was a Giants offensive line coach, so he got that title. I don't think it's just a title thing. I think there's more to come with it. Because why take it away?
Could be the case.
Why would you take it away?
I don't know.
Tell me, like, if anybody got a reason why you take OC on the performance at what? Because we all said the offensive line got better, right? There's an improvement.
Well, and he's produced. He's the only coach that's produced All-Americans.
So two why out would of he take a years? Supposed pace cut and position title taken away if it's just in the title?
You're just asking questions, Corey. Maybe he likes White Buffalo.
I like Wild Buffalo too, man. It's a fine establishment.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean that is it's a very valid question and one that we have wondered about often on this show. Right? So you have one dedicated offensive coordinator, you have one dedicated play caller who is the head coach. You have two dedicated co-defensive coordinators. And a bunch of question marks on what the rest of this staff makeup might look like over the next few weeks, months, and heading into next year with some changes, or at least alluded changes that Billy Napier and some of our sources have told us.
Very nice.
That's something I've learned these last 2 weeks. I'm not the only host on here with sauces.
No.
Yes, okay.
No,
we got a damn hot, we got hot sauces, sauce man. Factory.
Yeah,
the sauces. On stadium and game.
We do.
Cole DC with Vinny Sinceri, because that's one of the people saying they're just throwing around. From what I was told, no, that's not the case. Ron Roberts played a big part in getting Vinny Sinceri here, and I think the duty is going to be very similar to what Austin Armstrong called. I think it's not just a title and just a play on getting him more money or anything like that. He's got a real co-DC role. And there's some people, man, that I speak to behind the scenes that speak very highly of Vinny Sinceri, and they think the hire is going to be a home run. I'm talking about actual SEC, ACC coaches that I've talked to. They think it's going to be a good hire. But in my opinion, just the co-DC and the way we're playing with co-DCs, like, you know, T-Rob is a co-DC at Georgia. You know, like those titles aren't just being thrown around at serious programs. So I just question just the titles of the codes being thrown around to maybe guys that haven't really put the track record to have those type of titles in the SEC. But in coaching circles, people think highly of Vinny Sinceri and his future in coaching.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. Any?
But,
oh.
The play calling duties are not changing.
With what? DC? What depends?
DC.
I was told defense. That Austin Armstrong called most of the games last year.
He did not.
I was told this by actual players.
I think he relayed plays in.
Defensive players who played.
Cam Jackson spoke about it at the Senior Bowl this weekend and said Austin Armstrong.
Maybe that's an issue. You know what I mean? Like, with, if you don't know who's calling plays, I mean, everybody knows here I played hockey, right? I had a goalie coach and a head coach, right? So I kind of knew who was relaying information to me. I didn't play organized football, and that to me sounds like it's confusing if you don't know who the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not inspiring confidence, Nick. I mean, but the defense did play better.
Outside of A&M, Miami, Texas, the defense played well enough to win every game.
I try to make Texas a wash for even the defense because they was up against incredible odds, man. The kid, you know, he could sling it. He could spin it, but.
Thank you.
Kick and spin it, but they was up Thank against you. Some crazy odds playing Texas without DJ. So
yeah, Jordan, you back?
Jordan,
no, you're still
very low.
You're still very low. Maybe turn up the sound on your mic. Oh, man. Did you change the setting? Sorry, this is a little producing, live producing here. Hmm. Now it sounds, we can't hear you. Yeah. It's starting to sound like
microphone's gotten in a chokehold. Yeah, yeah. And the eyes are closing.
No, sounds like a. But yeah, no. Yeah, no, I think that's the biggest question mark going into next year is what, not the biggest. There's a lot bigger question marks. This is just a tiny question mark on what Vinny Sanceri's role is. And I know that there's more to being an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator than just calling plays on game day. There's a lot that goes into planning. And Jordan and Corey, obviously, you can talk more about that. But I am going to be curious to see what his role is. But Corey and I do have two very different sources, and I didn't even communicate with Corey until I heard what I heard. And Corey's like, I heard literally the exact same thing about Ron Roberts specifically going out and getting Vinny Sanceri to join this program. So that's when I knew Ron Roberts was staying. That's when I knew that Vinny Sanceri was targeted for the role and will have a elevated position on the coaching staff.
Whatsoever. Let's move off of coaching a little bit. We've been dragging it.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. Let's get a couple ad reads. Quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code Stadium15. You get 15% off of your order. Jordan just showed his. I've shown mine. Corey's and Nick have both shown theirs in the past. A lot of great designs, a lot of great options for the University of Florida fan in your life. They have a lot of other schools beyond just the University of Florida as well. So go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code Stadium15. You will get 15% off of your order. The guys that run the company are great guys and definitely worth supporting. So GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code Stadium15. We have National Signing Day tomorrow. Did you guys know that?
I thought it was Wednesday.
Wednesday. Well, depending on when you're listening to this, it's tomorrow or it's a week ago.
I was talking to the future. This is future Dan talking to them. So National Signing Day, that's how unimportant it has become. The very first time I ever met Corey, I believe, or maybe it was the second time, was at a National Signing Day event in St. Pete. Yep. So we met at a cigar bar. I was in between meetings at work. I swung by for a couple hours, walked back into the office smelling like an ashtray, but it was absolutely worth it. That was probably 7-8 years ago.
Longer than that, bro. I don't remember the guy's name that owns the cigar bar. He's a Gator. He's Gator alum. He volunteered his spot for that. We had it there a couple years in St. Pete. I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but yeah, you went throwback with that one. Sign of day, we're only looking for like one, maybe two guys. If I know they got a reclassification coming from, I got a kid's name written down somewhere over here. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. It's a DB out of South Florida, out of Miami. But we're only looking for.
Yeah. And then the other is cornerback Onis Conan Banny, who is still technically committed to Tennessee. But if you look at the crystal balls and you look at the recruiting prediction machine, and you look just at the overall tenor, it does seem like he will be joining this class. He's 6'1", 180 pounds, out of Heathwood Hall Episcopal School in Columbia, South Carolina. He is a composite 4-star, ranked as the 361st player in the class of 2025.
You must really like this kid because they've been after him pretty aggressive since early signing day when he was supposed to make a decision. He pushed it back. So they must really like this kid because I don't think we that thirsty for freshman corners. I think that the freshman DB hall was pretty solid. So good flip. You know, he's a good DB.
Yeah, unless they expect some attrition. Right now on 247, the Gators have the number 7th ranked recruiting class in the country. That's changed a little bit. They jumped Michigan just barely. I don't think if you add him, they would jump Auburn. So again, Florida's 7th in the country in recruiting rankings, 5th in the SEC.
The SEC is crazy.
Yep. Only Oregon and Ohio State are outside of the SEC. But the recruiting rankings right now are Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, Auburn, and Florida. Good spot to be, right? Number seven with
muted Nick.
Nick is on mute.
The two that are ahead, my goodness, they spend money.
Well, there's six of them that are ahead, and I think they all
the two that aren't SEC.
Oh, the two that are not SEC. Gotcha. Yeah. No, they are absolutely throwing down Benjamins.
What are we throwing down?
With,
I mean, Texas A&M throws around some Benjamins too, and they're looking at our dusty rear end right now.
why is our rear end ashy?
Yeah.
You got to spend enough money to buy lotion. I think the differences in that top 10 aren't that huge. Like people make it, you know, like it's not.
No, of course not. But the higher we go, the more pumped I am just to brag about it, you know.
More if we like top five, but like it's really from that point when you're in the top 10, it's really about who's developing better at that and who evaluated better and getting to that next level to performance on the field. But you just picking that. And just picking at small things if you care about finishing seventh and not fifth. Like, it's just not that big of a deal. But overall, you know, the class, we're going to talk about recruiting a little bit more here. The class is super solid at every position. I think they did a good job. Could do better, of course, at offensive line. We're going to continue to harp on that. But overall, good haul.
Yeah, no, I think that you can look back at this class and say pretty job well done in a lot of areas. I definitely think, I mean, you just alluded to it. I think the offensive line is an area that they could have done better in. They were able to flip Tavarius Dice, who I think will be, you know, a future starter. And then they got Jahari Medlock. So you only got two offensive linemen in this class. Now, the last couple of years, they loaded up on names, and we're starting to see some of those guys make an impact already. And then in the next year or two, I just think two is just maybe doesn't seem enough. I think you're missing a guard there. And I know that there's a backlog at the guard position right now, but, you know, tight end is never going to attract the sexiest names here. I think a wide receiver, cornerbacks, linebacker, defensive line. I thought they did a good job, and then they were able to get two running backs,
three running backs
to add to a large stable of young talent. Yeah, that they
Jordan
have
was talking
now.
About somebody leaving the receiver room. Like, you better watch that running back room after this spring, bro. There's some fierce competition in that room. If you ain't shaking it in spring, you might want to catch a cut.
Why? Because there ain't enough ball going around for football.
Most importantly, they got 18 guys early enroll, which is another good thing this staff does, man. Yeah.
18 dudes, yeah.
Fresh body.
And I think the ones that didn't enroll early aren't allowed to by school rules, right? So,
like St. Thomas, not going to happen. That, or... It ain't happening, Captain.
That's when you guys care about academics. That's the one time.
No. They care about academics. They always were like, what's that called? The National Honor Society, something.
The National
Honor Society? Something that Jordan and I weren't in, like National Merit Scholars.
National Merit Scholars has to do with the SAT. Actually, has to do with the PSAT. That might have changed.
All right, nerd. Shut up. Had enough of you. Anyway, we had a bunch of those nerds podcast, bro. At St. Thomas, too. We had a bunch of nerds at St. Thomas, too. You would have fit
Nick. Nick was also taking geometry as a senior. I get it.
I was taking cooking chemistry.
That was a makeup class.
Cooking chemistry. Hashtag Miss Cerrito. Gang, gang. I had a
Miss Dorito as well.
Miss Sorito.
Oh, Sorito. I had a
Miss. Did you have Miss Dorito?
Dorito.
No, I did not.
There you go, Jordan.
You were in real chemistry. Okay.
Sound great.
That silky smooth voice is back.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying over here.
Yeah, technology.
Nick, what's the word on? I was told players, and I watch these clips, so I get curious and I ask a lot of questions. So I'm watching social media. and the football team puts out these clips. I'm like, why? Okay, I see blue jerseys. I see white jerseys. Why are there a few players in black jerseys? Is that injury? And I was told, no, that those are the players that are performing excellent in workouts and whatnot.
It's interesting. I haven't looked at that yet, but everything they do is tracked. So, like, I was watching they do lifts at 6:30, 8:30, 10:30. They have them split into three different groups. Some of that's just based on class schedules, if you have an early morning class, something like that. But, like, everything is tracked. They were doing, like, sprints, and Tyler's telling them, hey, I need you at 80%. Like, don't go full go. Like, as the guys are running back, he's holding an iPad, and he's getting, like, the live data, and he's telling them, like, hey, this is what you're running at. So, like, that would make sense to me if they were giving guys jerseys every lift that they do. I'm watching guys, you have an iPad in front, you click, and you're tracking every lift that you do, and it's the speed that you're doing the lifts. And that's how they know, okay, if he's doing this too easy, hey, we're adding 5. And I watch him add weight on during guys' lifts. Like, hey, you need another 5 pounds on there. You need another 10 pounds, 5 on each side. So that would not be a surprise to me, especially because they just finished foundation and identity, which is really like the grind of their off-season program, the identity phase. It would not be a surprise to me if they put guys in it because of how they did during the foundation phase, and then you kind of move it up. They also track everything on a board, and each week someone is named the Swamp King. So there's some machines that they do that give you like actual like numbers. And then they also keep track of every single position group who has the top lift in squat, bench. They do like the hammer pull for back. Everything is tracked. So that wouldn't be a surprise to me. They easily have the data to say who's performing well.
Three of the black jerseys that I saw was all defense. I saw Miles Graham, Cam James, and Michael Burrow, which is good news. I need Michael Burrow to go off at defensive tackle.
Yeah, Burrow, watching some of these guys lift, they're freaks. Like, George Gum's a freak. Who else? Teddy Foster was a freak when I was there. He was in the group that I've watched a bunch.
That's Dan's man.
Not that 6:30 groups. Like, I'm missing Pup Howard. Pup Howard, I talked to him last Thursday. I was like, hey, I haven't seen your group. He goes, yeah, I'm at 6:30. I'm like, I'm not going to see your group. Okay.
Do they still do mat drills or no?
Man.
No, that's a – mat drills was a Savage thing.
Oh, okay.
Mat drills was a Urban thing, which was Mickey Marotti. And then Savage worked under Mick. So that's the Mickey Marotti tree is Matt. You had to do Matt drills?
Hell yeah. Early in the morning, the sun ain't even thinking about coming out yet.
Give us a little peek into what Matt drills were, because I've gotten it from Tate Casey. It took several whiskeys to get Tate to open up
right now.
It's what happened at Matt drills. Tate goes, it's a brotherhood thing. We don't talk about it. And then I saw Tate talking about it to Netflix, and I go, apparently it's just a money thing, Tate.
Right.
Netflix sent you a check, and you were all open about Matt Drills.
It don't work. You got to pay for it.
So I had to buy Tate. I had to buy Tate some alcohol, and then heard about Matt Drills. Very, very few rules in Matt Drills, like no biting.
Yeah, nah, it gets intense, bro.
No groin kicks.
Yeah.
Other than that, it seems like there were no rules.
It's definitely intentional to basically push everybody to their highest potential and edge. Like, you either going to want to fight the dude you're going against or just be pissed off because you lost the rep. Like, it's high energy at 5:30 in the morning. Like, it's just maybe like four or five different drills going on at the same time. Everybody kind of split up throughout the field. Some dudes are like wrestling a dummy, and basically you got to like be on the floor and like get the dummy from the guy, and the loser obviously has a punishment. So that's kind of what kept the tempo up in that drill. And it was like a tug of war drill. It was just basically a lot of like different drills that push you to your limit into fighting and competing.
Calling them drills, I think, is generous.
Right. It's drills, but it's basically making you hate everybody you're going against because you're going to want to fight them when you lose because you ain't going to want
to. It might just be as much as like, hey, don't let him get past you.
Exactly.
Whistle blows. No more instruction. Just don't let him get past you.
Yeah, it's just like
and that. And if he does, you don't want to know what the losers of the drills are doing.
I'm telling you. Then you hear everybody screaming down your ear. You really don't even want to lose no reps. So it's definitely high intensity early in the morning. And I think that's another part that makes it kind of bad, because it's like, who wants to be doing all this at 4:35 in the morning? Like, come on. That's going to make everybody want to fight.
who's waking up on full tank at 4:30 in the morning? Also, full tank, the aggression meter is full.
I'm telling you. Literally, we'll be finished with the workout, and it's still dark outside. We're walking back to the facility from the indoor. It's still dark out.
that's when y'all were getting... getting the boxing gloves out, getting back into the locker room.
Exactly.
No more mat drills.
Yeah, that's crazy though. I feel like mat drills always kind of brought the dog out of some people who ain't had that dog in them yet. So I feel like that's kind of a necessity. But I'm trusting in Mr. Napier here. I hope he got it all under control. Those guys fought last year. They fought for him, so they got some kind of.
No, he got the buy-in from the players. Like, the players believe in it all. You know, he's got to sell the fans a little bit more on what he's trying to. But the players, like, they never quit. You know, they stayed bought in. You didn't see any locker room things where players quit the team like we've seen in the past. So, like, that, I don't think that's the issue as far as – I think they do a good job. Just give flowers what they need to be given. I think they do a good job of just bringing football players, like football players, not guys that test well and just do 7-on-7 and drills well, but these guys have football mentality. A lot of them come from championship winning programs, so they don't have that quit in them. So the eval and the team building part of it, I think that's done very well. We just got to fix that in-game coaching, baby, and we got us something here. We'll see how it all works out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that's where we're at there. What else you guys want to talk about?
Softball starts this week.
Softball starts. Baseball starts soon.
Next week, baseball starts on Valentine's Day. We need to get you boys up to Gainesville February 28th, March 1st. March 2nd.
Okay.
It will not be the same right fielder, but somebody has got to catch Daniel's verbal jousting.
Well, that guy is probably, if I needed to rent a car to get up there, he's probably working at my local enterprise. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
That's actually a good segue then, Nick. I want you to talk about baseball, so get yourself ready. I got sent this shirt by our friends over at Alumni Hall.
I ain't getting no shirt.
Baseball shirt.
Well, where's my shirt? Yeah,
no, you didn't. You didn't.
You got a shirt? You got a shirt, Nick?
She just said. She sent no. it. No, okay.
Hold up a different sponsor.
Yeah, no, you got. You too can buy one. She just sent it with the check that I had to cash. So anyway, a little about how the sausage is made live here on the show. I'll try to get you guys a shirt. We'll figure it out. But Alumni Hall, go visit them on Archer Road in Gainesville, or go to alumnihall.com. In the month of February, so we're 2 days in, you've got 25 more days, you can use the promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word, and you can get 20% off of anything in the store.
Okay.
That's a solid discount, you know what I mean? So 20% off, alumnihall.com, baseball, softball, football, golf polos, gifts. Maybe you want to do some early Christmas shopping and start to get that. You know, done early.
Valentine's Day gift.
Valentine's Day. They do have very fast shipping. So go visit Alumni Hall.
Not a mathematician, but that means you're only paying for 80% of the product, but getting 100% of it.
Look at that.
That's right, Nick. That's right.
Quick math.
And then
quick math.
Yeah. So get it while the prices are low. You got at least another 30 days for prices to be low. I can't promise they might not go up after that. So, Stadium and Gale is the promo code, all one word, alumnihall.com, or visit them on Archer Road in Gainesville. Nick, give us the 411 on baseball.
Yeah. Baseball coming in. Well, softball, first off, coming in this season, ranked number one.
Okay,
talked to Tim Walton. Only the second time I've talked to Tim Walton. You can check it over on our YouTube
You went
page,
on the show but... when he came on to interview.
No. I've only talked to him like twice. Like Tim immediately started talking about my gray hair. They're doing a bobblehead night for Tim. And he said when he got the design back before they, you know, they sent it out, he was like, am I actually this gray?
Can you imagine how big my bobblehead would be if I ever had one? It'd be like twice the size of a normal bobblehead.
If the spring would be doing a lot of heavy lifting to make a bobble and sink.
Right. Yeah, that'd be a tough look for a Dan Thompson bobblehead.
Well, Jay Scarlett too. Jordan's got a head.
Yeah,
I got a little noggin on me too.
Nah, yeah.
Big head game.
So shout out to Tim. They start this week home game against UNF. I believe it's Thursday, and then they have a tournament in Tampa.
They do,
but they start the season ranked number one.
Right.
Talk to him and talk to some of the girls on the team, and their thing is like it doesn't matter what the little number says next to us when we're on TV. We're getting everyone's best game, just being the University of Florida. I think they get to host Oklahoma and Texas this year.
Oh, wow.
So both the newcomers. And Oklahoma is nasty. But nice to get Oklahoma in Gainesville, because whenever you were playing them in the past, you were playing them in the College World Series, which is essentially a home game for them. So
they haven't met our secret weapon, Dan, in the outfield. Tim. Heckling.
Dan.
No, I'd be respectful. Come on.
Elite heckler, Jordan. Like, I'm talking about top tier heckler, man. He had a Miami player ready to quit the game and come up and fight him.
I'll be honest with you, Jordan. Yeah, I think we rattled him. And it wasn't just me. We got some other people involved, but he had.
Dan was the energizer bunny for the people around him.
Yeah.
Hey.
People around were kind of like being respectful, being like a boo, boo. And then Dan brought this high level. There might have been some Google searching.
Ain't nothing wrong
Dan's
with it.
Dan's heckling seemed researched and enthusiastic.
Yeah. Hey, he was rattled. He had a throwing error. He had back-to-back plays. He made a critical mistake. Job well done, brother. He was rattled.
And
then he started looking up like, who is that making that noise? Like, who's talking trash? I was like, oh, my God, this kid is ruined.
Yeah. They're like, not really a guy in his mid-30s yelling at me? Yes. Yes, it was, Mr. Miami. Yes, it was.
Baseball starts, like I said, Valentine's Day. We'll just run you through real quick. The weekend rotation will be Liam Pearson, sophomore. Pierce Capalla. I was a little worried about Pierce Capalla. 6'8", 6'9", left-hander. His velo, when he got here, he was throwing 96, 97, 98. He's had back surgery. He's had shoulder surgery. He'd been sitting like 90 to 92, and I was like, good.
That's velocity
not good.
For the catch.
Got him back
man.
Up
you
to
just
90.
Said velo. Yeah.
Velo. Okay. Sorry, velocity. Velocity. His velo velocity was up to 95 on the fastball. He's got a great slider. It's also just a weird look. You don't get a lot of 6'8", 6'9" pitchers. Throws from like a low three-quarter angle, so it looks like to a left-hander that's coming from behind you. And then Sunday right now, Jake Clemente from South Florida. Shout out to Douglas. Not too many shout-outs because they beat us.
No, that was my rival high school. They beat us in everything, as you can imagine.
So you called them a rival. That was when they would play like the sophomores and juniors, sophomores, freshmen.
I mean, kind of. Yeah. We had a
they consider you a rival.
We had a game every year called the Pig Bowl where the mayor of, so they're in Parkland and we're in Coral Springs, right? So, but same I don't know, thing, just yeah. a few minutes away from each other. The mayor of the losing school had to kiss a pig. That happened once. It was my senior year. You would have thought we won the Super Bowl. I think we went like 3-7, as you can imagine. But, you know, we beat Douglas. I think we beat Taravello that year, too.
Carvalho stinks too.
Well, obviously.
Douglas stinks at football.
That's because anybody that's good gets illegally tampered with by the likes of Pinecrest and St. Thomas Aquinas.
Man. Just chill.
IMG Academy. Just that's where
wild allegations for a higher institution of learning.
Right, yeah. Cardinal like Gibbons there, you know,
well,
American
they cheat.
Heritage.
Gibbons,
they're,
Gibbons
they're
cheats,
all.
Heritage
yeah.
cheats.
Yeah, they all cheat.
Yeah. Those other filthy schools.
Let me be clear. None of our players got tampered with to go to those schools. Right. No, they did not. I've gone for the academic side.
So you've got those guys. Aiden King from Dan's favorite vacation spot, a local Jacksonville Duval County boy. Aiden King,
Duval.
Yo, he killed me when I heard that.
I was really over here.
When I saw that, I was cackling. I probably got tagged 7 or 8 times on Twitter about, oh my God, that made my day. Anyway.
That's got to be good for Nick, at least 9-10 losses.
Duval.
Aiden King, two coaches, Kevin O'Sullivan and another coach on Florida's staff, gave me a Brady Singer comparison.
Oh, wow.
We call it a comp in the baseball world, a Brady Singer comp to Aiden King. That's high praise. If anyone in that Friday, Saturday, Sunday spot falters, do not be surprised if Aiden King is starting on a weekend at sometime soon.
Wow.
Unfortunately for the Stetsons, for the Bethunes, for the UNFs, you'll see Aiden King on Tuesday and Wednesday night before he moves into a weekend role. Pitching staff is kind of young, might go through some growing pains, some bumps and some bruises, but they've got some good arms, some guys like Matthew Jenkins who came from a junior college. And then offensively, the lineup is just going to be able
to hit right there.
The lineup is just going to be able to hit. The lineup's going to be able to hit. I was talking to David Kopp.
Coral Springs High legend,
David Kopp. And he was kind of talking about kind of the struggles that some of the pitching staff has gone through. And I said, listen, the good news is this offense can score probably 9 runs a game, and you're going to have some wiggle room until the defense picks it up. Just going around the diamond, you'll have Luke Heyman, Brody Donay catching DH, first base, Brendan Lawson, who's a freshman from Toronto. Go Canada, O Canada, maple syrup. Cade Kirtland, who is in his junior year, he's been starting at shortstop since the first game his freshman year. Colby Shelton's back at shortstop. Bobby Bozier, a USF grad transfer, Dan, third base. Okay. Left field, Blake Sear, Miami transfer.
Yeah, he's finally good,
figured
right?
It out.
He's
God, you very
really
good.
Yeah. We wouldn't very have good. Him.
No, he was too far on the opposite left side. Yeah.
I think he was even playing. I think he might have even been playing infield. He was an infielder, outfielder for them.
Yeah, I think he was playing shortstop that game, if I remember correctly.
He'll be a left fielder. Center field is Kyle Jones, a transfer from Stetson. This is a real glove in the outfield. Probably the best center fielder Florida's had since Judd Fabian.
Buddy Reed at, man?
Judd Fabian was as good as Matt Dendecker. Buddy Reed's going by his original name, like Michael,
that.
Now.
That's probably why I can't find him.
And Buddy Reed is Buddy Reed is 30 years old and trying to become a pitcher now in the minors. So coaching staff near you.
Trying to get that boy on some content. We got to get him on the show, man.
He's going as Michael Reed now. He also didn't have a big personality. Not sure. He's great for content. And then Ty Evans back.
Like Buddy?
That's huge. Like getting Mike,
I'm calling him Buddy.
Michael Reed.
I don't care if he's 50. Yeah, I can see why getting rid of Buddy at 32. I could get it. My bad. I'm gonna call him Michael, bro. Feel him. I feel it. Yeah.
That's bro. Respectful of you, Corey.
Yeah.
And then you get so like getting Ty Evans back. It's kind of like what I said last week about people complaining about the transfer portal. I'm like, well, if you would have gotten a Caleb Banks, if you would have gotten a Tyreek Sapp, if you would have gotten a Jake Slaughter in the transfer portal, you'd love it. But you just got all – you retained all of them. They didn't go to the NFL. Right. They didn't hit the portal. You retained them. Getting a Ty Evans back – and baseball is a little bit different because you lose your bargaining chip if you stay for your senior year. When you stay for your senior year and get drafted, the MLB can just say, here's $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you can – go play in Korea or Japan or Mexico, but we have your rights and you don't have a bargaining chip. When you get drafted after your junior year, you can say, hey, here's what I want. You're going to come really close to that, or I'm going back to school and you lose your draft pick.
Okay.
So you don't get a lot of guys to come back for their senior year. Getting Ty Evans back, getting Colby Shelton back. Luke Heyman was a draft eligible sophomore. Getting these guys back is huge. So you have a bunch of guys on this roster now who have played in Omaha once, twice even. And I think you have offensively a lot of experience. And I'd have to look up to see how many home runs they hit last year. Could come close to that. Now, there is no – people keep asking me, who's the next Jack Caglione? Like, that's – you're asking me who's the next Tim Tebow. It's like, hey, man, you had 2.5 years to enjoy Jack, but that's not a thing. There is no – it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to replace Jack Caglione. It's not a one-to-one replacement.
Give me your you've been known. You're, like, internationally known for your baseball lives. So how far can this team take it, man?
This team here at Omaha. That's every single year. Like, I'm not going to use that analogy or that explanation because it involves my former employment. But half of the years I've been here, Florida's gone to Omaha, and like it's really hard. There's 300 teams in Division I baseball. Only 8 get to go to Omaha. You need some luck. You need to stay healthy. Like, we're looking at the team last year throughout the season to the point where baseball talk was banned in the middle of the year on our show because the team was performing so poorly.
Right.
That team ends up – we were talking about Florida.
Yeah, they beat FSU. They finished third in the country.
Yeah, maybe not making it to the playoffs at all, to the tournament at all. And that team ends up, like Dan said, playing longer than FSU, the best team – FSU had in over a decade. So you never know what a base. It's a really long season, 56 plus games. You have to stay healthy. You could lose two pitchers and all of a sudden the trajectory of your team is completely different. You could have a couple guys not perform. Last year, the sophomores that we thought were going to play really well, Kay Curl and Luke Heyman, just did not hit the way we expected. But the expectation every single year for Florida baseball is to get to Omaha, and they're certainly talented enough. The pitching staff is really deep, but again, young. So you might take some bumps and some bruises, but they did a really, really good job in the transfer portal. NIL is a big deal. Tennessee won, I won't say who it was, but Tennessee won the College World Series, and one of the boosters who was there says, Tony, this is awesome. Thank you. Here's a $3.5 million check. I feel like you're behind in the portal because you've been here so long. And then Tennessee went and spent that money. And Tennessee is going to be good as hell this year. They just got, because of the Diego Pavia rule, they just got a kid who's played 3 years at UNC, 1 year at UT, University of Tampa.
Okay.
And
UT, I was thinking.
Out of eligibility. University of Tampa is like
baseball program, actually.
The best Division II program. Yeah.
Like many time national champion, yeah.
Yeah, I think like nice. 6 or 7 national championships. Mm-hmm. I had an offer to go there. Didn't. They won a national championship my freshman year. Idiot.
Man, you played yourself.
Bro, played myself.
Jeez. Nick went to the middle of nowhere, North Carolina, when he could have been hoisting the college baseball national championship on
4 hours
Soho,
away from your house.
You know?
Trying to figure out. We got over there, we got just trophies.
Nobody knows what they're showing.
MVP.
Okay. All right.
Offensive MVP. Gold glove.
Over there.
Pop your ish, Nick.
That's high school. And that's high school. And that's my dad offloading stuff from his house to put it up here.
Wow.
Shout
out to you though for having your high school awards on the wall still.
Those are all high school baseballs too. Those are all home runs.
I like that idea. I'm gonna get my stuff in my mom's house, man. All my high school and Pop Warner stuff, man.
Nick, when are those from St. Thomas or are they start at any time at any point?
Those baseballs?
Yeah.
Those are St. Thomas.
Wow. Okay.
Come on, man. That's legendary stuff back then.
I just enjoyed alcohol.
Jordan, you can understand my reason for speculation, right? Like,
listen, Dan, you can chirp the Miami right fielder. You're not chirping me. We're way past our prime, but our prime was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel it every day when I wake up. I'm like, man, don't wake up the way I used to. I might go,
man, who you
might go vegan.
Nah, it ain't
change it up.
No, certainly not. Listen, if my days are numbered, I'm going to enjoy the days I have left. And that's certainly not eating
plant-based.
Don't
knock it until you try, bro. Don't knock it until you try, man. You might.
Yeah, I've had an impossible burger. Don't go, it's not impossible.
Let me tell you, go to Planta. Like, you want to order a good vegan burger where they make a patty out of, like, actual vegetables and it's not random mystery meat. Yo, hit up Planta, man. That's a good way to, like, bridge yourself into plant-based life. And plant-based don't mean you don't eat anything else. Just make majority of your meals about plants, man. I still eat fish.
I'm just going to start a carnivore diet. We need to bring balance to the podcast.
Let's do it, man. Remember that McDonald's dude diet. That was just eating McDonald's every day and just trying, like, let's try it out.
Yeah, I don't eat that either.
Well, he was also a raging alcoholic.
Yeah, I know, but it don't work for my joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, sorry. I didn't mean to ran in your parade.
Nah, but enough of plant-based talk, man. Let's not talk about my diet.
Yeah, so we'll be at a baseball game. Baseball team looks good. A lot of new names, a lot of new faces. I think that's just going to be college sports for the most part. You know, at least the major revenue sports is you're going to see a lot of changes year over year. Some years maybe more than others, both players coming in and going out as well. Trying to think, softball, obviously.
I got a DM from a fan of the show that said her and her daughter wants to hear more volleyball talk.
Okay. I don't.
On a show for that.
Yeah. Volleyball is over for this year. So we will put that on the docket for the football. Pardon me, for the fall timeline.
Sorry, lady. We're not going to be talking about volleyball on this show.
Yeah. Shout out to Mary Wise. Been on the program twice.
Yeah.
We'll add it to the end of the show.
No, we're
going to
have our hands full, man, with a lot of things.
Yeah. No, it's smack dab in the middle of football season.
Yeah, I think it's the first sport that starts, if I remember correctly. They start really early.
It's either women's soccer or...
You know what? I think soccer does
I think it's
start
women's soccer.
Like
soccer.
Yeah. We have women's soccer.
Women's soccer.
Yeah. It used to be a one proud program. Mm-hmm. Once proud program. It's
How been... do you know, Jordan?
Oh. I don't know anything about that.
Jordan was quick to be like, oh no, there is a women's soccer program.
I was like, yeah, he's probably a supporter of the volleyball team too. It's just football season, so he couldn't go to the games, man. But volleyball games is the vibes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Their practice was over right by what was it? Lakeside. That's where they practice. Jordan knows, and then they would play their games at the track field, track and soccer stadium there. So, yeah, no, I think they do. But, yeah, no, that's going to be in the fall. So, conversation might be a little bit more limited. But we'll do a better job. Let's run through it right now. Men's basketball is 18-3, 5-3 in the SEC. Women's basketball is 12-11, 3-6 in the SEC. Men's golf is just starting. They've got one of the top 10 golfers in America right now. So that'll be a team to watch out for. Won the national championship, not this past season, but the season before. Women's golf is in a tournament to start their year right now. Gymnastics is 6-1. Men's diving, swimming and diving is 4-4. Women's swimming and diving is 6-2. Men's tennis is 4-2. And women's tennis is 2-1. So there we go. Does that bring us to the end of our show?
Oh, I think track had wasn't track just starting their season somewhere?
I think track starts.
It's definitely started because that's my dad's bag. He's already about UF track and they're 4x1, they're 4x4. It's definitely something happened with track.
Yeah, it starts.
You know what's not in your dad's bag? It's keeping those kids.
Oh, nah, bro,
they're
just reckless, man. Like, I don't even know who that dude. He got soft for me. Pause.
golf hosts the Gator Invitational this week.
Track just started. Sorry, Nick. I want to talk about that, but track just started indoor track, and then outdoor will be right after. So the indoor SEC championship is at the end of February, and then outdoor will start after that. But it looks like they had a couple
very good
at the Razorback Invitational.
The University of Florida will continue its national championship streak.
Shout out to Mouse.
You know they'll catch at least. You know they'll catch at least one.
Yeah, we won.
Get a hold of Mouse, man. Mm-hmm. Nick, this is your like now that the Screech know that Florida Victorious can go recruit.
Like, we holding you to the fire for that, and also getting Mouse on the show, man. We need to make it happen.
No, okay. I can. I'll email him after the make show's over.
And the Gator Invitational. I think Florida Golf only hosts one tournament a year. It is this week. Let me see when it starts. Good golf. Good content here as I search Florida Golf.
While we wait, while we get that going.
Nice. You do.
Yes. No pressure.
So golf will start. They played a little bit in the fall.
February 15th.
Yeah, February 15th and 16th.
Big lies.
So they already participated in the Southwestern Invitational in Thousand Oaks and Sherwood Country Club.
Yeah.
But this is when their real season will start with the Gators Invitational, followed by the Southern Highlands Collegiate event, which is sponsored by
Dan Mullen will be out there in his new Rebels polo.
Yeah, and then you've got a couple other matches before you get into the SEC.
Jordan's guy, Dan.
But Ian Gilligan is the name that you're going to want to look out for. I believe he is ranked in the top 15 or top 20 right now for golfers in the PGA College rankings, in the top 30. There, get the opportunity to play on the Korn Ferry. And if you are number one overall, you get your The Korn Ferry is the kind of the minor leagues of professional golf. And then the winner of the overall best golfer of the year gets her PGA card for the year.
Very nice.
So, all right. We'll do one final ad read. Forgot to mention our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Those baseball pullovers will be ready shortly. So if that's something that you want for baseball season right around the corner, go check them out. But a bunch of Gator logo, vintage logo apparel there that you can get, and then about 100 other schools. So go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. Or sorry.
Yes.
Stadium and Gale. And you get 15 or 20% off of your first order. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code is Stadium and Gale. Corey.
Song of the week, man. I'm going to give it R&B. Give it some R&B vibes. I don't want to scare anybody, man. So Young Blue, Live Forever. Nice little jingle. Y'all watched the Grammys last night?
Mm-hmm. No.
Kendrick Lamar pulled up in the
That Canadian was hilarious. Tuxedo. Yes, I love the subliminal beef disses that's still going down.
Right, I'm like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, why is this dude in the Grammy Jean outfit? You got all this money, you got on all Jean. Come to find out, the internet will bring it up. He's wearing Canadian tuxedo.
This guy is
more shots.
He just don't take
Drake
a day off from the beef.
He don't.
It I don't watch award shows.
Me neither, but Kendrick was about to get a million awards, so I pulled up.
Yeah.
Is that the first diss track ever win an award? Yeah. It's gotta be, right?
Yeah. It's definitely the diss track of the year.
I heard Beyonce won country music
album
of the
year. Gave her the,
probably country. With that Texas
I'm out. I'm out on all the Grammys. I don't need to watch a bunch of millionaires in a room patting each other on the back. I'm good.
You're right.
You're muted.
Yeah, Corey, you're muted.
I like this, though. We can't hear him. I can't hear him rebutting what I said, which means I'm just right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Joy, you going out to the Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I'm out there, man. I'm in the Super Bowl. Don't see how it goes, but I'm gonna be up there from Thursday, so and my wife doing a Lululemon event, a Lululemon.
That's a long time to be in New Orleans,
man. I'm just trying to stay alive.
No,
up there,
bro, I was in New Orleans for about 3-4 days, man. For a whole Labor Day weekend? Is it like you just got to have your head on the swivel and you can't be out here all lollygagging in the streets, but.
That's why I said you got to be on point because you'll get robbed out
My
there.
My business partner got
I
robbed.
Already know them boys ain't
I think you'll be fine.
Ty got robbed out there, bro. It was hilarious, man.
Yeah, niggas get robbed out there. I ain't wearing nothing crazy. I'm on my nothing. I got $0, brother.
Jordan's wearing that gas station double long white tee.
Not see any jewelry for me this week that weekend.
New Orleans is all. You've been in New Orleans before?
Yeah, like on some chill stuff, obviously, for like a lot of game days and stuff like that. But all the times I've went there and we got great a little food, free time, man. It's never been just.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah,
food is amazing for sure.
Elite.
Absolutely.
All weekend, but.
You're gonna
just trying to stay afloat. I know my girl gonna want to go out, go to all these Super Bowl events.
I'm a fan really of the Super Bowl events, bro. Like, go partake in them, man.
What's going on with all these flights, though? Can we talk about
my
that
wife
for
is
a second?
Flying?
I'm scared of my drive from, up there.
My wife's from like the DC area. My sister-in-law are taking my daughter on a flight to DC.
Yeah, Greyhound.
Trying to talk him out of that.
Probably
just
the safest time ever to ever fly into DC, to be honest.
I'm trying to tell you, I ain't trying to fly nowhere. I don't care.
You guys will be all right. I think you guys will be all right.
We out of here.
I'm just trying to. You know, there's been tens of thousands of flights since then. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to that whole situation and everything else. 100%. Hopefully, get to the bottom of fixing that. You know, making sure that instances like that don't happen again. But I think you guys will be all right. You guys will be all right. Got to put positive vibes.
Yeah. Please. I need good juju.
Yeah.
Positive vibes.
One reason I'm not going because I don't want to jump on the flight, man. Like, so ever since like the first thing that happened in New Orleans, I just been a little apprehensive about just travel all together. So that just threw another wrench into the whole plans. But yeah, if you're traveling, don't shut down your life because of tragic things happen. It's always going to happen. That's just life. Just move, prayed up, and with your head on the swivel, you'll be all right for the most part. Like Dan said, thousands of flights went out since then. So
yeah. Absolutely. All right, guys. We will see you at the same corner, same time next week.
All right.
Have a great rest of your week.
Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.